Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping our listeners hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or some issue you're dealing with and you'd like to discuss it, well, now's the time to call. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to have a great program today. We've got some really, I think, head-scratching questions that have been posed to us through email and some other ways. And, Andrew, I think you and I are going to have a great time talking through those questions, and they're very, very important because they all are going to flow out of, you know, a person's understanding of the good news of Jesus Christ, what Christ did 2,000 years ago through his death, burial, and resurrection, and how that impacts you and me here and now as we come to believe in that and are made new in our lives through faith in Jesus Christ. So I'm really looking forward to these questions, and listeners, stay tuned, because I think you're going to find the conversation absolutely fascinating, and hopefully you'll just be riveted to that radio or however you're tuning in to us today. But I wanted to start the broadcast with something very simple, something very basic, and it's our topic for the month is forgiveness. And there's a reason that Christ forgave all of our sins, and that was to reconcile us to God. I mean, God had a desire to be in relationship with us. And so the thing that kept that from happening, the thing that broke that relationship back in the garden, was sin, Adam and Eve's sin. And now Jesus has removed that barrier once and for all, reconciling us back to himself. And that's exactly what Paul wrote to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All this is from God. So everything that we're going to talk about, everything that the Word of God brings to us as far as the good news of Jesus Christ, initiated with God. He's the source. He's the one that's making it happen. He's the one that's bringing it about. And he's bringing it about because it's the desire of his heart. It's what he wants. It's what he wants to bring into being. So all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Here's the reason: because he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So God's desire in the work of the cross was to reconcile us back to himself. And Andrew, that's oftentimes a truth that is missed or overlooked or just kind of glossed over in the presentation of the gospel, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is God's agenda. It was his heart. It was his idea. He initiated. We had no clue what would happen. He decided to send his son. So when we, 2,000 years later, act like we're not reconciled as believers, when we act like God is frustrated at us, when we're imagining that he's angry at us, that he's going to be done with us soon, that he's going to turn his back on us, or he's up there completely, you know, frustrated, furrowed brow, looking down at us going, I wish they wouldn't disappoint me so often. Well, remember what disappointment is. Disappointment starts with expectations. And God doesn't have expectations that are held over us. He knows past, present, and future, the history of the world. And so what we're seeing here is that he saw every single sin imaginable, all of our sins. And in light of that, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, to take away our sins, and to reconcile us, and that is restore a broken relationship, make us one with him, draw us near. So all of this was God's heart and God's agenda. So next time you find yourself you know, wondering where you stand with God, and maybe you're not doing your part enough. God knew all about us not being able to do our part. And instead, he put us in a covenant that is all about him promising himself. And by that promise, by that covenant, we got reconciled perfectly so that we're clean and close forever. And that is just downright encouraging.
Yeah, it really is encouraging. And it you know, there's a lot being said today, Andrew, by different radio people and television people and pastors and pulpits about how we need to engage the culture and we need to help, you know, turn the tide on what's been going on. And this passage is not only a passage that God directs to us individually saying, hey, I've taken your sins away, but it becomes the message that we take out there into the marketplace, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is the message that we give out. Why? Because God has entrusted us this message to deliver, to represent out there in the world today. And I think when people come to grips with the fact that God is not counting their sins against them, that that barrier has been removed, then you have some inroads into the culture, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. You've got some good news. You've got some great news instead of some semi-good or disappointing news, because, you know, the way the world looks at us, we're the ones that seem to be pointing our bony finger in their direction, making judgments about their behavior. They feel guilty around us. They're walking on eggshells. They think, well, I can't set foot in a church unless I get my behavior in line. You know, I can't go to church because I haven't read my Bible lately. I haven't done enough good things. I've been, you know, sinning lately. So therefore, I'm disqualified. And that's what the enemy wants them to think, is that they can't approach, that they can't be a part, that they're not invited. But this passage, Bob, is declaring, if not shouting from the rooftops, the polar opposite, that, you know, anyone and everyone is invited into this, the whole world. So whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's because God did everything in advance. He saw the problem. He saw the necessary solution. He's offered it to everybody. It is a perfect solution, perfect forgiveness, perfect cleansing, and perfect righteousness as a free gift. And that is for anyone and everyone that'll open the door to him.
Absolutely. The voice is Andrew Parley, joining Bob Christopher and me, and thank you for joining us, everybody. 844-322-2742. If it's roughly 7-8 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we would love for you to come in and be a part of it right now. 844-322-2742. It is finished. You know, guys, those three words sum up God's eternal victory over sin. By going to that cross, Jesus finished forever the impact of sin on those who had come to him by faith. You know, at Basic Gospel, we want you to know about it. We want you to live in its truth, truth that brings joy and peace and the sure knowledge of our forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. It's all detailed, and it is finished. A six-message CD by Bob Christopher, and we want to send you a copy to say thank you for your support of Basic Gospel this month. So be sure to request your copy when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. It is finished. It really is.
Yes, it is. It is indeed. Well, we have this question we want to go to, and I want to go to this first, Andrew, because it's a follow-up on what we just talked about. Deborah, who's watching us on Facebook right now, wrote this. She says, I feel the Lord is disappointed in me because I don't attend church and I don't read his word every day. How can I feel better about that? And Deborah, you're not alone. There's lots of people asking the same question, and they feel like their whole life is a disappointment to the Lord. What truth can we give to Deborah? What can we say to help get her on a foundation of assurance and confidence in the Lord?
Well, first of all, I think of Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, where Paul writes about this gift of righteousness. He says that we through Christ receive an abundance of grace and a gift of righteousness. And that's what we need to set our minds on, that there's a righteousness that's freely given. There's a righteousness that's not based on setting foot in a building once a week. It's a not a righteousness that's based on logging time in a book each day. It is a righteousness that is based on Jesus Christ, hanging on that cross and resurrecting from the dead to give us an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. So, Bob, there is a self-righteousness out there, and we reject that. At salvation, we say, no way. That's not what it's about. It is not about us doing enough and achieving enough and earning enough. No, we can only be saved by grace. Well, 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 years later, we still need to put our confidence in that same grace and in that same gift of righteousness every day, waking up saying, you know what, Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that if I never set foot in a church building again, I thank you that if I never open the Bible again, that I am as righteous as you have made me, which is perfect righteousness. You have made me righteous as a free gift, and I'm going to rely on that, depend on that. And then next thing you know, Bob, what happens? We get encouraged by that gift of righteousness. Then we start wanting to share that with other people. We start wanting to celebrate that with other people. We start wanting to read God's word to get encouraged about that righteousness. So we can't put the cart before the horse. We've got to go back to the core message of that gift of righteousness and depend on Jesus every moment for that.
Absolutely. So, Deborah, you're as righteous as the Lord Jesus, so our encouragement to you is just to say thank you, just to say, Lord, thank you that you've given me the very righteousness of Christ.
Yeah. Deborah, glad you reached out, and if you have further questions, don't hesitate to contact us again. Well, again, 844-322-2742, that's the number to call if you'd like to be a part of this edition, something you'd like to discuss with us, a Bible question perhaps, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, we had this question that came in from Charles. He says, in listening to the answer given to that question, do believers go directly to heaven when they die, I understood you to say that when our physical body dies and our spirit and soul leave our dead body, that we will be present with the Lord, not only in our spirit and soul, but also our new immortal physical resurrection bodies as well. I think that the Bible teaches that the resurrection to the immortal bodies is a universal event. What are the scriptures that support the idea that each believer receives his new resurrected body at the time of his physical death?
Yeah, so this is one of those questions that I said, hang on, folks, this is going to be a great discussion. And, you know, Andrew, I think you and I got this question either last week or the week before.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it's hard to kind of bridge time and eternity, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's sometimes where some confusion comes in. But, you know, you look at the Word of God, and there was a point in time where Jesus came into this world. He died physically on the cross and then was raised physically, and then he ascended into heaven. And then there's the scriptures that say he's going to come back in the same way at a point in time in the future, and he ties the resurrection of the body to that point in time.
Yes.
Well, that's how it's laid out for us. We see that in several passages, the one that Charles mentioned, but there's also the idea of eternity. You know, everything's I am with God. He is who he is. There's not a past. There's not a future. It just is, isn't it? So yeah. How do we bridge that?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to admit that eternity is something we don't fully comprehend, and I'm comfortable with that. I think we need to get to the place where we say, you know, I don't know everything about heaven, and I don't know everything about an eternal future, and I certainly don't know how time works. If you take away my iPhone and my wristwatch and the clock on the wall, I'm going to have to admit that eternity is a mystery. But we do know this. I mean, we are absent from this body and immediately present with the Lord. Now, if you have a presence with the Lord, then somehow you're going to be able to see him, and somehow you're going to be able to touch him, and somehow you're going to be able to converse with him and interact with him. It's not that the folks in heaven are sort of waiting for that interaction. They've got it. And then you look at a few other things. I mean, you look at the parable of Jesus where Lazarus is looking across at the rich man, and there's some sort of looking going on. How is he looking without some way to look? So, you know, there's a lot that can be discussed here, because, you know, the Bible even says that that Jesus was the Lamb of God, was slain before the foundation of the world. And you want to say, no, no, wait a minute. It was 2,000 years ago. What do you mean before the foundation of the world? And God is speaking from an eternal perspective there. There was a plan. There is an eternal work done at the cross, and yet it was done in time. So let us be clear. I mean, I personally, and I know you too, Bob, we believe in a physical resurrection, in a physical return of Christ. The only question is, how does it feel to us if we were to die tomorrow? What is our experience in heaven like until that day on earth happens? And, you know, is it going to feel like the twinkling of an eye? Is it going to feel like 500 years? Is it going to feel like 20 minutes? I mean, those questions I am happy to leave with the Lord right now and say, hey, I don't fully understand eternity by any stretch.
Yeah, none of us do, and so I think that's why we kind of lay it out and say here's how it looks from the explanation in the Word of God, and we know Christ is coming back. We know we're going to be raised with Him just as His body was raised, ours is too, and boy, that's the victory. That is the victory that we are all living in today. And that's exciting. So we certainly appreciate this question and always enjoy talking about kind of the eternal benefits of knowing Jesus Christ, not yes, only indeed. Here, but eternally.
Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. Thank you for joining everybody. We would love to hear from you. If you have something you'd like to discuss, give us a call, 844-322-2742. You know, guys, the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is at work in the hearts and spirits of everyone who's come to him by grace through faith. But in many of us, that power, the truth of that power is not really fully realized. And that's why the new series that Bob Christopher has produced called It Is Finished, it's why it was made. At Basic Gospel, we want everyone to hear, believe, and live in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Well, that understanding is vital in helping us to live free of fear and guilt and shame concerning sin. So it's been produced. It is finished. And we want to say thank you to everyone who supports Basic Gospel this month by sending you a copy of it. Just click donate when you visit BasicGospel.net and request your copy of It Is Finished. As I said earlier, it really is.
Yes, indeed.
Another question that came in, this is from Jay, who lives in Grosse Pointe Farms in Michigan. In several passages in Galatians and Romans, the word crucified is used. Does that word crucified mean that Paul and all born-again Christians are literally crucified, or is it speaking figuratively that we are crucified? I appreciate your team being there.
Well, guys, I certainly would avoid the word figuratively, because I think that sort of relegates this important truth to a realm of it didn't really happen. And, you know, we would never say that we were born again figuratively. We would never say that we're born of the Spirit figuratively. We would say, no, the Holy Spirit lives in me. He gave me a new heart, a new spirit. I literally and actually became one spirit with the Lord, and how exciting that new birth is. Well, how did you get that way? It's not the old you mixed with the new you. It's not half good, half bad, half old self, half new self. So something had to happen, and God used the cross for that. And I know that, again, we're back to a bit of mystery because, Bob, I don't know about you, but I'm not 2,000 years old.
Well, I know I'm older than you, but I'm not that old. That is for sure.
Yeah, so at 47 years old, there's no way that I was physically crucified with Christ. So what happens? Well, at salvation, I get taken through, you could call it a heart surgery, you could call it a DNA swap, but my human spirit, which was in Adam, is taken through a spiritual crucifixion. My old self dies. I am raised to newness of life. We see this in Galatians 2:20, I no longer live. We see this in Romans 6, my old self died. My old self was crucified with him. We see it in Colossians 2, that we died with Christ. So I would say that this is literal and actual but certainly not physical, of course. There was a born-again experience that took place in the lives of every believer, and it starts with death and ends or concludes with new life. And this is, Bob, I think this is a neglected part of the gospel because, you know, everybody's talking about Jesus died for my sins, and that's awesome. Jesus died for our sins. But the idea that we died with Jesus and then that we were raised to newness of life after that, and that that's how we got relationship by getting that new heart and having Christ fill that heart, that's kind of a big deal. It really shows us how our new identity got started.
Yeah, it sure does. And there's a practical outworking of that, and it's interesting because all of these passages that talk about us being crucified with Christ are in the context of law and grace. So we constantly try to mix law with grace. We've got to continue to be obedient to the law. And what these passages are saying to us is the law has already had its say in our lives, and death was the end result. We have died with Christ. And now that we've died with Christ, we've also been raised with Christ. So the law can't speak to resurrection. It's had its complete, its entire, its total say in our lives, in the death of Christ and the fact that we were placed into that death, as you said, literally by faith, by grace through faith in Jesus. So the law has nothing more to say to us. Just as Christ died to sin once, we've died to sin once, so that now, raised to walk in the newness of life, we can live to God. We can enjoy His presence, His love, His grace without limits, in total freedom. That is such good news. And it couldn't have happened if we weren't placed into that death of Christ. So just as the law can't say anything to Jesus, He died and was raised to life. It can't say anything to us because we're on the other side walking in the newness of life.
Yes, yeah, indeed.
I want to say something else about this, Bob. I really feel like you've shared something important there. So let's imagine that all of the different rule-keeping type systems, all of the behavior management type systems, everything that we've heard from various circles over the years, all of that assumes a dirty self. All of that assumes an old self that needs external rules, an old self that needs law-keeping, an old self that needs behavior management by some external system. But, as you said, when a Christian becomes a new creation, we're dead in Adam, and then we're made alive in Christ, and resurrection people, children of the resurrection, we can be led internally by Jesus, not by rule-keeping, not by law-keeping, but by the presence of Christ Jesus Himself.
Well, Andrew, thank you for those keen insights, as always, and the clarity that you bring to the broadcast each and every week that you're on. I do want to mention before I turn it back over to Bob to bring it to its conclusion today, we've uploaded a new YouTube video. The question of the day is, how do I stop sinning? And it really relates to what we've been talking about on today's broadcast. So take a look at that at basicgospel.net/YouTube. Again, that's basicgospel.net/YouTube.
There's literally a wealth of teaching there that we really hope, friends, that you will take advantage of. BasicGospel.net/YouTube. Well, thanks for being with us for Basic Gospel today, everybody. If you have questions about anything you've heard, or in general for that matter, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you, and as always, we welcome your call. Again, that's 844-322-2742. And once again, we so appreciate the love, prayers, and support of everyone who helps keep this message of grace in Jesus Christ on the air. And with your gift this month, we want to send you the new CD series, It Is Finished. Request your copy today when you donate at the website, basicgospel.net. Also, to build your maturity and understanding as a child of God, we encourage you to visit our online store. That also is at basicgospel.net. There you'll find books, Bible studies, CDs, and DVDs, all designed to help you grow in God's grace. You'll find it all under the Resources tab at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for the ministry team, and with thanks to Andrew Parley for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow as we continue with The Great I Am on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.